A reading from the prophet Micah. The Lord says this, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, the least of the clans of Judah, out of you will be born for me the one who is to rule over Israel. His origin goes back to the distant past, to the days of old. The Lord is therefore going to abandon them till the time when she who is to give birth gives birth. Then the remnant of his brothers will come back to the sons of Israel. He will stand and feed his flock with the power of the Lord, with the majesty of the name of his God. They will live secure, for from then on he will extend his power to the ends of the land. He himself will be peace." The word of the Lord.
God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine on us and we shall be saved. God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine on us and we shall be saved. O shepherd of Israel, hear us. Shine forth from your cherubim throne. O Lord, rouse up your might. O Lord, come to our help. God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. God of hosts, turn again, we implore. Look down from heaven and see. Visit this vine and protect it, the vine your right hand has planted. God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. May your hand be on the man you have chosen, the man you have given your strength. And we shall never forsake you again. Give us life that we may call upon your name. God of hosts, bring us back. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved.
Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. This is what Christ said on coming into the world. "You who wanted no sacrifice or oblation prepared a body for me. You took no pleasure in holocausts or sacrifices for sin. Then I said, just as I was commanded in the scroll of the book, God, here I am coming to do your will." Notice that he says first, "You did not want what the law lays down as the things to be offered, that is, the sacrifices, the oblations, the holocausts, and the sacrifices for sin, and you took no pleasure in them." And then he says, "Here I am coming to obey your will." He is abolishing the first sort to replace it with the second. And this will was for us to be made holy by the offering of his body made once and for all by Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. And a big thank you to you for inviting me here to celebrate my Golden Jubilee of priesthood. After all, your parish priest said to me, well, you are my parishioner, you're living in my parish, so you should come. A famous football commentator once said, this is a game of two halves. Would you mind if I preached a sermon of two halves to you? The first half will be about priesthood, and the second half will be about Mary and what you heard Bob reading in the Gospel. The first half is a true story. I was a student in Liverpool at the university, and I was studying physics. And one evening I went into the physics library and I noticed a girl there who we went to lectures together, and she was better at physics than I was. So I sat next to her and she really did help me with the work. And then she said, what religion are you? I said, I'm a Catholic. Why? She said, oh, well, yeah, all right, I'm a Methodist. I was quite taken aback by this, and it turned out she was a very, very well-informed Methodist, because when I said, well, what's the difference, I then got a very long lecture. And she said, well, you Catholics, you have priests, and a priest is in charge, and he's up at the front, and he's got things on like this. I said, well, yes. And she said, well, we don't have priests in the Methodist Church. We only have a minister. And I said, well, isn't he a priest? No, no. And she said, we Methodists believe, and remember, this was 1959, 60. She said, we Methodists only have ministers because we believe that by our baptism, each one of us is a priest. Now, I had no idea I was going to become a priest. I thought I would be working in a nuclear power station for the rest of my life. So I was studying in the monastery, and the Second Vatican Council took place. And one of the things that was stressed there was, you and you and you are all priests by your baptism. So, what is the conclusion from that? And this is not very traditional, and the Pope might tell me off for saying it. I think the people you call priests, we have been specially consecrated to help you to exercise your priesthood. You celebrate Mass here, and instead of you all doing all the actions and all the words, Father Anthony does it. Now, that sounds a bit Protestant, but that's what the Second Vatican Council taught. So I've had to change my ideas. I didn't become a priest. I was ordained to help you to celebrate your priesthood. That's the first part of it. The second part is I want you to start imagining, because many of you are something that I am not. You are parents. You, by the power of God and your own love, have brought into the world a child, and maybe a second child, third child. And one of the lovely descriptions of the family that you'll find in the church's teaching is that the family is really a little church, a community of love and caring and sharing, of worshipping God together and travelling through life together. So you see how you parents exercise your priesthood. I want you to imagine that you've got a daughter and she's coming up to 18 and she's called Miriam. And against your wishes, she's become engaged to Joe, her childhood sweetheart. And you notice she's rather troubled, very quiet. And then you notice she's beginning to put on a bit of weight. And eventually her mother says to her, "Are you all right, dear?" And Miriam says, "Mum, I'm pregnant." Naturally, you presume who the father would be, the man she loves. But that's not the case. Because eventually Miriam says to you, "It's not Joe, Mum, it's God." Now that almost knocks you off your feet. Is your daughter telling the truth? What on earth has happened? Joe finds out that Miriam's pregnant, and he's absolutely livid. As far as he's concerned, his fiancée has committed adultery. But Joe's a good man. He says to Miriam's parents, "Send her away, have the baby." And he does this because 2,000 years ago, Miriam would have been stoned to death for adultery. So you decide to send her to visit her cousin Liz down south. Liz, too, is expecting a baby. And then Joe comes round and says, "It's true. The baby has come from God. Because I had a dream, and the angel of God said to me, 'Do not be afraid to take Miriam home as your wife, for the child that is within her is from God.'" Now, I've always thought of Mary going to visit Elizabeth as a very brave and very kind thing to do. She was 6 months pregnant, riding on a donkey, about, I think it's about 50 miles. But no, perhaps, just perhaps, Mary fled from Nazareth because she was pregnant. She didn't want other people to see that, because they all knew that her and Joseph had not yet come together. In my naivety, I often think, well, Mary is perfect. She's the mother of God. Jesus is the Son of God. You know, whatever happened, they can cope. But it's horrific when you think about it. what Mary had to go through in saying yes to God to bear the child that is the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.